SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Here are the boys, Lynn, Murray, and Solly.
It's us, Tim Murray to my left. Follow him on Twitter at @1TimMurray. Steve Solomon on the other side of the countertop as we sit in the dinette studio. It's kind of like a dinette. Follow him on Twitter at Steve Solomon. S-O-L.
Mel's Diner?
Mel's Diner.
Like an Alice?
Yes, of course. At Steve Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N. I'm at Scott Lynn 980. Our next guest, pleased to have him join us, wrote for SI for 3 decades, the great Jack McCallum. Follow Mr. McCallum on Twitter at McCallum12. McCallum12. Author, writer, raconteur extraordinaire, Golden Days, his latest venture, West's Lakers, Steph's Warriors, and the California Dreamers who reinvented basketball. Mr. McCallum, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I was the 1/8 to one half of the diner, diner menu. Would somebody do that in diner? Somebody ate half the menu in that movie.
Yes, the great Levinson spectacular from low those years ago with a lot of visual humor and a lot of really, really good Baltimore stuff. Before we get to the book, Jack, I wanted to ask you, and we kicked this around earlier, and your accomplice, Mr. Murray, was quite upfront about it. Twitter and the 280 character mess now. Are you a fan? Or are you not a fan?
I'm not a fan simply because I thought the beauty of it was going, and I'm saying this truthfully. I mean, at the beginning, I go, how the hell are you going to say anything in 140 characters? Now it's been several years, and I really like this art of saying, I didn't need to say that, or, you know, going back and edit it. And it has, to a certain extent, made your writing tighter. There are times when you got to go, like, send out 2 or 3 tweets in a row to get your point across, which is like, then you have the plan of, well, do I have them ready to go? You know, so one follows the other. But so no, I'm not a fan right now, but I'm certainly not a fan of seeing what our boy is going to get up to every morning with 280 tweets out in Washington. I just can't even imagine what's going to happen there. It's way too many for him.
How different would your job be if you were doing what you did in the 80s and 90s, following around Larry and Magic and Jordan? How different would your job be today compared to what it was back in the 80s and 90s when you were writing for SI, chronicling the NBA?
Completely and utterly. When I went back, I'm not saying this anecdote to push another book, but when I wrote Dream Team, which was, I wrote it 6-7 years ago now, started researching it like 8 years ago. This is the most famous team, you know, ever, with personalities, you know, Barkley, you know, Jordan, Larry, the most famous guys in the world. Well, when you went back to do that research, the written record of them is not very large. I mean, I went out on the Romblus with, you know, half of my SI coverage was going out on the Romblus, the you know, crazy drinking area of Barcelona, with Barkley, not just me, everybody. There's no social media. There's no Instagram. There's no Twitter. Had Barkley gone out at an Olympic Games in Barcelona now? I mean, the internet breaks. So I was over in Barcelona. I was with these guys for like 5-6 straight weeks, something like that, qualifying. They went to practice in Monte Carlo. They went to the games. I wrote like 6 stories. That's it. You know? So the stories were longer. There was more involved reporting. We don't want to need to talk about that. However, it was a totally different job. It was not a 24/7 job, no matter how many people would like to tell you that. There was a little more time to, let's say, have a beverage than guys doing the job right now. I frankly don't know how they do it. I mean, a guy goes out. My successor at SI, Lee Jenkins, goes out and writes a long piece on LeBron, has to get to him. Nobody will know how hard that is. And then also tweet and write columns for the website about it, completely different.
Jack, the access has to still be there. I remember reading, I guess it was Mina Kimes, who wrote an exhaustive piece about Aaron Rodgers a couple weeks, couple months ago. And he, who I think it was still post-injury, maybe it was pre-injury, he went to her place in Southern California and hung out in her living room. So, I mean, it's, you know, you can still get to these guys. I guess my question is, has the access changed, or is the way to get the access the only thing that's really changed?
I don't have the background on Aaron going over to Mimi's house because that seems unusual. Yes, you can still get it, but it's a lot different. For example, every story that I used to do for Sports Illustrated, I mean, this was how the magazine was defined. You like, you know, the word embedded. You embedded, you know, you were there 3 or 4 or 5 days trying to get every damn thing. Something that's changed now is that athletes, and I'm not going to sit here and rail about it, have their own platform. I mean, they have to weigh between, let's say, do I want this guy in Sports Illustrated coming to expose, who will do a good story but may expose something I don't want talked about, or do I want to write an essay about it on the Players Tribune, or do I want to tweet about it, or do I want my manager or agent to arrange some other kind of event when I can talk about it? So that relationship has changed, but what you said about Mima and Aaron Rodgers still exists. It's just used to exist all the time. That what you used to have to do for Sports Illustrated. It's not quite as prominent right now, for sure.
Chatting with Jack McCallum, his new book, Golden Days, West Lakers, Steph's Warriors, and the Cold California Dreamers Who Reinvented Basketball. Just along those same lines, Michael Jordan nowadays is looked at really in reverence on the way he played. You know, we could talk about his business and all that stuff is looked at a little bit differently. But if Michael Jordan, Jack, played today, how do you think he would be looked at? Because you are a guy that chronicled Michael and knew some things that other people didn't know. And LeBron, we talked about platform. LeBron is, you know, known for his Instagram. But there's a lot of, so to speak, haters of LeBron. I just felt like there weren't many haters of Michael Jordan.
I agree with that. I mean, Michael got, certain things would have come out. Michael's dalliances. I can't remember when Michael got divorced, but when his divorce settlement came up. I had an early story where I went to see Michael before he had revealed he had a baby, and he wanted me to keep it secret that he was with Juanita. You know, it wasn't somebody casual. It was with the woman that he ended up married. He just wasn't married yet, and he wanted me to keep it secret that, he had a baby. And I said, well, I can't do that. You know, I was holding the baby. You know, the baby peed on me. You know, how am I going to keep this secret? But that was kind of, so today TMZ would have been in the delivery room. So it's completely, that part of it is completely different. And sure, his image would have changed. Absolutely. However, some of these guys that are skillful with it, and it's hard to go into a long disquisition about LeBron, or let's say Steph Curry is maybe a better example. There's also a way, if you're smart, and Michael was smart, and LeBron is smart, and Curry is smart, to reform your image, you know, to kind of craft it in a way that those guys back then kind of depended on us to craft their image beyond their commercials, you know. Well, now they have a whole different way. They have commercials, and they have their own social media platforms, and nobody works harder at it than Steph. You know, his wife is part of it. His kids are part of it. So that's a way to create an image also that athletes really didn't have back in the 80s and 90s.
Talking to the great Jack McCallum here on SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. The book is called Golden Days, West Lakers, Steph's Warriors, and the California Dreamers Who Reinvented Basketball. A lot of the book focuses on the great Jerry West. And again, for us newbies, new guys, you got your Curry, you got your Durant, you got your Dre, you got your Kerr angle. I have to ask you this, your relationship with West, can you compare somebody like a Steve Kerr to him? Is Kerr a relic, Jack, or was West a visionary? And the answer is probably yes to both.
Well, the thing about West, I mean, West came into the league in 1960. He played until 1974. Since 1974, somebody do the math with me quickly, what's that, 40-some years?
43.
He's been in the league for 60 years, over 60 years, Jerry West. He still remains relevant. And the main reason that he remains relevant is that I'm not saying he's alone in this, but it's a small minority of those guys who were pioneers, played the game, understood what they meant to the game, understood they were underpaid, understood they don't travel charter, but they don't look at the game and say, well, back in my day, we were better doing this. You know, Jerry stays relevant because he stays up with the game, because he looks at Steph Curry and shooting and goes, I can't shoot like that. I wasn't that good. Now, he was good at other things, he will tell you. Don't think he thinks he couldn't play. But he's one of these guys that stayed on top by not being out there and yelling, oh, they wouldn't get away with that in our day. If you recall, there was an epidemic of that during the Warriors' run. You know, Oscar Robertson, you know, everybody's out there saying they wouldn't score. This kind of points on it. And that's, I think, in reference to West, at least, that's what I respected the most about him and why the guy is still hanging around.
Jack, to tie in another one of your books, and we'll promote them all. Whatever book you want, we'll just keep throwing it out there.
You know, I assume you don't want to talk about the prostate monologue. But,
if you want to talk about that, we can get into that.
Yes, please.
I'll tell you what, pretty soon you guys will be able to talk about it.
I'm there, Jack. I'll be 50 in February. I'm there.
All right.
But, Jack, your book that you followed around the Phoenix Suns when they were running and gunning, and they were innovating the game of basketball, and I saw a stat the other day, and I don't have it right in front of me verbatim, but basically the premise was the 7 seconds or less Phoenix Suns would be one of the slowest paced teams in the NBA today. When you chronicled that Phoenix Suns team, which was innovative, which was Mike D'Antoni thinking outside the box, did he have a vision that he believed that the league was going this way? Because you look at the Warriors and they get up a shot in what feels like 2 seconds.
This is a true story. Last week, I was having lunch in New York with D'Antoni because his Houston Rockets were in Knicks. We were having lunch when that stat popped up onto his phone because everybody, you know, even old people are sitting there stealing looks at their phone during lunch when they should be talking to each other. And D'Antoni, that's the first person I heard that from. Well, my God, he said to his West, look at this, you know, that I can't remember who had dug up from the stat. He was like, he wasn't really astonished, but here's the thing about that. I was embedded with this team, as you said. They were changing the game. All we were talking about was the number of threes they were taking. All we were talking about was the points they were scoring. All we were talking about was the revolution of the pace which they were playing. We never, the word sabermetrics never appeared in the book. Partly because I'm, you know, it's not my thing, although it's got to kind of become my thing. It's not my thing, and they never thought about it. 11 years later, Mike's entire offense is based upon, well, maybe that's too big a statement, much of what Mike does in the Rockets is based on what Daryl Morey has come up with from a general manager, from a statistical standpoint about taking three-point shots instead of taking mid-range jump shots. The game, over the last decade, utter and complete revolution, and I wasn't smart enough to see it. I don't think Mike saw it. I think Mike said, we can win this way. We can do this. This is a winning formula. Okay, you know, maybe I wish I had one more lockdown defender. So now he's in the middle of this revolution, and it is a sabermetric revolution. Mike is a really, really, really smart guy, but I don't even think he saw it coming. I think revolutions come, you know, a lot of times before people know it. This three-point shooting, get up and down the court one, is one that really caught the NBA suddenly and by surprise, and I think it's great. I love watching it.
Jack, thank you so much for your time. We will get you back, and we will talk more about the prostate monologues and everything else.
Muhlenberg College,
of course, great students in Muhlenberg that you knew, not named Murray. We'll get you back on again. Thank you so much. Good luck with Golden Days.
All right, guys.
Thanks. Follow Jack on Twitter, of course, at McCallum12, jackmccallum.net for more information.